Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
Coming at you 5 days a week.
Still are.
With the freshest of Clippers news.
And the season just definitely seems like it's starting on the 22nd also.
Yeah. So good. I mean, like, good and bad news. It does appear that the season is going to be resuming sooner than we thought. So stay locked in with us for all the breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we're going to kick things off with the What You Say Wednesday. Mm-hmm. If you're new to the show, Chuck puts out a poll on Twitter.
Yep.
Want to know what you think.
It was a fun time. We've been getting a lot of votes in the offseason. We really appreciate everyone voting and just kind of conversating about the topics and everything. It's a good time.
Definitely. This one's pertaining to Landry Shamet, which, if you listen to the show, you know I'm very invested in the future of Sham.
Yes, you are.
I'm buying Sham stock.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about a little bit about fan favorite Lou Will, sort of. What is his place in Clippers history?
Fan favorite, all-time great. Who knows?
By the time you're listening to this, it'll be the day after his 34th birthday.
Yes.
Is that when they take a basketball player to the glue factory?
Yeah, he's done. I think his paychecks are in a different color next year.
And then in Shavings, there's an interesting trade that was proposed by the folks over at Locked On Nets.
Yeah, shout out Locked On Nets.
Shout out Locked On Nets. Check them out. They've got a bunch of interesting stuff going on in their offseason. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so welcome to What You Say Wednesday, Landry Shamet edition. A lot of people have kind of been talking about how, you know, Shamet's had, we've talked about it a lot, a rocky development after that first, whatever amount of time you want to call it, that you get after the trade deadline, right? Like that.
Like a quarter of a season, a little over, like maybe a third
not
of a
half,
season.
Not whatever it is. But like in that time for the Clippers, he looked exactly like the Philly Sham, right? Like 40% or so from three.
He was better.
I don't know if he was better. The coaching was definitely a little different at that time. But since then, it's been kind of a rough go, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this before, but I just think that for whatever reason, they couldn't figure out what to do with him, which to me is the most asinine problem in the world.
He shoots.
When you have an automatic catch and shoot kind of a guy.
Yeah.
And you
what
know,
should we do? Have we ever had another player who's done that before?
I don't know. I'm sure Clipper Nation knows.
Yes.
But the thing is, you know, we've had this weird sort of period where they were trying to use him more as a point guard. The majority of his starts, maybe even all of his starts, I'd have to look back at it, came in when he was filling in as a starting point guard, which I have advocated for him in the starting lineup in the past. And, you know, depending on how free agency goes, we'll continue to do so.
Yeah.
But that's not a role for him.
It's not what he does.
It's not the role for him. We would see him in stretches with some rotations where he would be the only, you know, quote unquote guard on the floor, to mixed results. I thought there were times in the bubble where to the eye, I thought the offense looked like it was moving more.
Yeah.
But you know, that's one thing I'd have to dig into more, but I'm really excited to see, cause I think that Ty Lue, I'm hoping that Ty Lue is the kind of coach who, you know, obviously has a plan and an offensive system.
Yes.
But he can also, you know, as he's talked about, like, put players in a position to do what they do best.
Yes, which for Landry Shamet is shoot that three, buddy.
Shoot the ball, you know, get him some movement.
Yeah.
Get him some actions off screens.
Because he's quick in that movement, too. Like, he's not a slow player. He cuts well, like, all that stuff. Like,
he has, like, the, I mean, you know, once again, he paid a lot of attention to JJ. JJ was his vet as a rookie.
Yeah.
And like, that's something that JJ's always been known for, is like, his cardio is insane.
Yeah, it has to be.
And
you're
Shamet,
shooting while you're jumping to the side. Like, it's crazy.
And I do think that Shamet has the same thing. If, you know, and if Ty Lue could maybe help him bolster a little bit defensively, which, you know, I thought we saw a reasonable improvement. You know, he was getting steals.
Effort was there. Effort always seems to be there with Sham on defense.
The effort was there. So maybe just helping him get in positions on that end too, where he can be a little bit more successful, which isn't necessarily always going to be in, you know, man to man.
He doesn't have to hang his hat on his defense.
No. And there's, you know, there's just some great backcourts that, like, if Landry Shamet is the prime defender on, you know, or even getting switched on by a Luka or a Jokic or Dame or McCollum or, you know, any of the great guards. That's not really a position for him to succeed, but, you know, he can box out he can close out on a 3-point shooter or a stationary shooter. And he's certainly agile enough to, you know, cut off some driving lanes depending on who he's guarding.
Yeah. The question pertaining with the Lou Will and Shamet was, do you think Shamet will take a development leap with Ty Lue coaching next season? Kind of knew what the answer was going to be on this one. Overwhelmingly voted yes, 87% yes, 13% no, which no one really with the no votes commented, which was a little frustrating.
Do you think that was people thinking that he'd stay about the same, or do you think that there would be a regression?
I think it's probably stay about the same. Yeah. I can't imagine there'd be a regression.
I would hope not.
Unless we put him into a place where it's like, hey, Sham, we're going to have you do a bunch of post-ups.
Sham,
like,
at the five.
Yeah, exactly. But so there was some nice notes from some users. Bleak Griffin said, I definitely see the staff giving him more of a defined role and running more plays to get him in looks and rhythm. Guys like Atkinson and Craig will help develop his game. Lou will open things up by the sets they run. And then added the ball hoops said, I'd love to see them draw up plays for Shamet like how they did with Joe Harris and Duncan Robinson. So we have, which is love such that. A great point. Like, we have two coaches who've worked with two of the best 3-point shooters of last season. Like, Duncan Robinson is absurd. Like, Shamet's not exactly on that level, but it's the same
The process. Mechanics are there.
And it's the same process to get those guys shots. Like, Duncan Robinson has a release that, like, is absurd. But it's that same form, right? Like, LA Clippers film always talks about the process the Clippers got. And if you have this process of Sham getting these looks and working through these things during the regular season to get ready for the playoffs, we need that.
Yeah.
We need this added, you know, when Shamet shots are falling, it's a legitimate thing that teams would game plan against. That 18-19 season, we saw it happen even then.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope it happens. At non-biased NBA fan said, I personally believe Lou will teach Shamet the Korver-esque quality of not being able to let threes fly. Which I thought was interesting because I don't think Sham has ever had fear of letting it fly. He doesn't hit a lot of like FU threes, as I like to call them. You know what I mean? But he's never, I can't think of a lot of shots where I've seen Sham pass it up.
No, he is not to me a guy who's scared of the moment or scared of the shot or scared of whatever.
But I'm really excited. Like, I just want, like we talked about, I just want some on-court footage to react over. Like, I want to see what Sham looks like. And I agree, by the way, with this. Everyone who said yes, like, I think it's really hard for Sham to take a step backwards. And I think with everything people are getting hyped about Paul George's shooting in terms of the sets Lou's going to be running, you can interchange Paul George and Sham for that, right? Like,
depending on the set. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You can be just as excited about that because I think it's legitimately going to happen. And that point again about Robinson and Joe Harris, it's like, shit, like we have this blueprint of like all of these shooters for pretty much exactly what Shamet's game should be,
definitely,
like almost to the T. Like, it's there, and hopefully this system makes it happen.
Yeah.
Are you in the yes vote camp or the no vote camp?
I'm definitely in the yes vote camp. I like, my only hesitation is, you know, I do have some questions about how big of a jump, you know, that could look like.
And that's what I was thinking, too, because, like, I guess I mean jump compared to just this last season.
Yeah, and this last season, it wasn't by any means a disaster. I mean, it was like, he pretty much remained status quo. I think the biggest thing was just, like, he was injured. And then
he had to do what he had to do, you could say.
Yes. Yeah. So it wasn't a linear improvement in any single way, but it gets hard to me sometimes to gauge these guys like Shamet, who, no disrespect, but like, I mean, he came into the league pretty much as close to a finished project as really
what his game was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think like after that, it really just comes down to the utilization.
Yeah. Very
for
good
me.
Point.
So I think that,
because the ceiling is a 40%+ 3-point shooter, which we've kind of almost already seen, very close, that combined year. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're totally right. It's just like, it's getting those things down. And he's such a smart player that I'm not worried that like last year was kind of like a wash here for that whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about that as I would be with some players.
No, it's I feel like it's maybe a little overly critical to say it's a wash. It just wasn't an improvement, is how I would state it. It wasn't like he took some like horrendous backslide.
Yeah, thankfully.
But hopefully, you know, he can stay healthier this year. Definitely had some knocks. I hope that Ty Lue encourages him to be a little bit more forthright with the training staff.
Yeah, say if your wrist hurts, bro. Don't wear tape on it for 3 weeks, and I'll be like, it's just fine. It's not fine.
I know that was definitely a point of contention in the locker room between Doc and Shamit before. But, you know, he's just like a soft-spoken guy.
He's intense. He's soft-spoken in the intense way.
Yes.
Not in the...
Man of few words.
Shucks way. Yeah. A man of few words is the perfect way to describe Landry Shamit. Let us know what you think about Landry Shamit next year. Coming up, we're talking Lou Will's legacy, but first, we gotta give a shout out to Built Bar.
Have to.
The new improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. There are 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. The 6 new ones are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, you feel me? Lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy, which is fantastic. Great for the health conscious anybody. Can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low sugar, low calorie, high fiber, high protein, which is great for the keto diet. I like the peanut butter one. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, only 5 net carbs. So still getting psyched up, still feeling good, but not feeling weighed down, which is nice. If you would like a discount at Built Bar, which I know you do, you gotta go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, all cap letters, one word, and you'll get $10 off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Okay, so we're back. And this is a really interesting thing. I think that, you know, I'm excited for Clipper fans to ask themselves. But we're looking at what Lou Will's place is sort of in Clippers history.
Also, happy birthday, Lou. We're recording this on his birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
He's 34.
You're a day late if you're hearing this and you didn't wish him happy birthday.
Yeah, don't even try it, man. But it is interesting, right? Because Lou Will came to us at a time when he was going to stop playing basketball if that next season didn't go well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's really hard to fault him there. I can't imagine like getting moved around that much, and this is a guy who, you know, is getting up there in age and like has kids and a whole thing. So
yeah,
it seems really, really difficult. And I also just think that it's similar to the Shamit thing too, right? Where like for Lou Will to work, it has to be in a system that's going to benefit his style of play.
Yes.
Which I think is another concern if you're if you've become a player who's kind of just getting traded and kind of bounced around.
And we found that system. The Lutrez pick and roll was a career rejuvenator.
Yes.
For Lou, and a lot of other things were too. But yeah, it was kind of. And, you know, Doc talked about that first conversation they had all the time where he was like, I'm not lifting weights. I'm not playing defense. And Doc was like, you got to play some defense. Like, I don't care about the weights. Like, yeah, whatever. Don't be super strong. You know, he's won two six-man of the year awards with the Clippers. Could have argued maybe he could have gotten the third, but Trez played really well too, you know?
I mean, the only reason I would have over-advocated for Lou is, like, just setting the record of the most.
Yeah, that would be tight. You know, he's got the game winner versus the Nets. He dragged us to a winning record in 18-19. He was a huge part of that team.
I will never forget that Warriors game where he went supernova. It was like, I don't know, man. It was a weird time for Clippers fans in terms of things to root for.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
Yes, that was... That whole season is just insane. He was part, you know, I mean, we had, what, the most 20-point comebacks in the history of the league in one season?
Yeah.
In 18-19, and he obviously is a part of it. He's established himself as a key piece of Clippers-ness, Clippers-dumb, whatever you want to talk, you know, the Clippers sphere.
Yes.
Right? Like, he is an intangible pillar of it. But is he a fan favorite or an all-time great Clipper? You know? It's a tough question to think about. Because, yeah. you have one end of the spectrum of the, you know, fan favoriteness, which is like Milos. Obviously not an all-time Clipper. Definitely a fan favorite. But I think Lou, despite having not much playing time here, when you look at it, is an all-time great Clipper.
I mean, yeah, I think it just depends on like the qualifications, I guess, for all-time great. He's got to be the best bench player.
That the Clippers have ever had. Yeah.
So I think that merits you know, that merits at least some conversation in that conversation. But yeah, I think it's difficult. It's weird too to me because I feel like this year, more so than other times, fans kind of soured on it.
Fans soured on him, which is tough. You have, you know, playoff performances historically for the Clippers, Lou, has been not as much as people have wanted.
Yes.
Despite being the whole reason, you know, they got there.
Yeah.
Which has been difficult. The bubble play was tough because of some decisions that were made. He had to quarantine for longer during the NBA bubble, which I think recency bias is so tough with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because everyone kind of shit the bed. For the Clippers, you can kind of point to anything with that. So there's some less good things as well, but yeah, I think you're right. He's best bench player we've ever had. A lot of people kind of talk about like Bev and Trez maybe being on the move, and like Lou's talked about a little bit, but I don't know if I see it happening.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to ride with Lou until the wheels fall off.
Which is, again, like his playing style. You know, it's not, he's already obviously understands, like, yeah, I'm a backup. This is how it goes. How much more, because, you know, we have a new regime coming in with defense. It's going to be interesting to see how they figure out Lou's defense in the playoffs.
Yeah,
because it'll always be sought out, right?
Yeah, we still got to figure out what's going on with that backcourt off the bench.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sham is an effort guy, but not a great defender. If we end up bringing Reggie back, that is not a lot of defense.
That's tough. It's fine for regular season.
Yeah.
Like, it's whatever in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you can't play both those guys.
Yeah.
And if Lou's not hitting shots, you know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It would be so weird to see. I think one of the things that makes Lou Will a great two is that I think it would be so jarring for Clippers fans to see him in a different jersey.
Oh yeah,
he's close to the end.
That'd be kind of difficult for me. So in that sense, I mean,
right?
I guess like as a fan, he's definitely one of the greats to me.
He's so close to the end of his career. We assume, no disrespect to Lou Will, but you know, there's only so much that a scoring guard off the bench who doesn't play a lot of defense can do age wise. So like, I mean, I want him to stay with the Clips until we get this thing figured out. Like,
yeah.
Getting that first year with the Clippers would be great. And also, if he were to be traded, I can't see us making a trade with another contender. Like, to put Lou in a position where it's like, oh, you're on the Clippers who are a contender. Now you're on, I don't know, another Western Conference team that's a contender. Like, that trade doesn't seem like it even exists out there to me.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of return, like, who's going to help us out with that? Yeah, it would hurt to see Lou go. I think he's definitely on the, like, and with the way that, like, player kind of legacies work now, how it feels like it's always a little more truncated. He's an all-time great because he was with us in, like, such a crazy transitional period.
Yes.
You know, underdogs, winning all those games in 18-19 to...
And, like, was a great vet for the youth. And, I mean, I don't know. I have a tremendous respect for him for sort of the job he did with Shea.
Yeah.
Getting him his confidence and stuff like that. It was just, like... It was incredible to watch. I look back at that press conference all the time after that Warriors series.
Dude. Good watch for any Clippers fans out there right now who are hurting.
Yeah, just I'm honestly one of my favorite kind of Clipper moments.
And that photo of Trez, Bev, and Lou just at the podium is so good.
It's great.
I should get that thing framed. Let us know what you think about Lou Will's legacy. Would not be surprised if everyone says he's an all-time Clippers great. Coming up, we're going to be talking... You know, and a proposed trade from Lockdown Nets, as well as maybe some Paul George disrespect that's happening.
All right, so we're back. So why don't you lead off with this trade, this Lockdown Nets proposal?
So shout out to Lockdown Nets, by the way. Also shout out to Lockdown Jazz. There's a trade proposed where the Clippers get rid of Paul George to the Nets, but we end up getting Rudy Gobert and Spencer Dinwiddie.
I'm out.
I am out too. Center is not really our problem. But the Jazz would get Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, plus Taurean Prince, 2020 19th overall pick, and a top 10 protected pick in 2022. The Nets would get Paul George and Royce O'Neal. So it gives the Nets an absurd big three, theoretically, big 2.5. And it gives, you know, the Jazz, I don't really know why they would do this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either. I mean, they're like, you know, they're trying to contend. That's like why they made the
This is not a contending move.
This is not.
And for the Clippers, you know, Gobert and Dinwiddie, it's like, okay, so we have Zoo on the bench, and then we start, like, Dinwiddie, who has injury concerns. Like, I put this trade out there on Clippers Twitter. They did not like the trade. There was not, I think there was only one person who said we should lock it down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see this being advantageous for really any of these teams. I mean, arguably even the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets have... it's funny because I could see the Nets doing a trade like this because I don't really understand. They seem to be doing all these kind of like high-flying moves right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So like I could see that maybe happening. But yeah, I don't see... It makes the Clippers like a little better like defensively. Like if you add Gobert, you're obviously getting better defensively.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. He has a ceiling offensively.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily...
And there's a situation, too, where, like, I can't remember if this is the last year of his contract, but he's going to be getting paid.
Oh, yeah. If you want to be terrified, look at what the Rudy Gobert Supermax
looks
which
like.
Which I don't think they'd ever offer it to him.
Yeah,
but
I
it's
don't
like,
think so either.
I think one of the years he's making, like, $50 million at the end of it. And that's, of course, like, the Super Duper Max or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But a lot of people pointed out, too, that, like, these trade ideas, people are kind of still acting like PG is, like, not a top 15 player in the NBA?
Yeah.
Because the bubble, which sucks, there was some very good from Paul George, and there was some really rough from Paul George.
Yeah.
And it's affecting people to think that these trades, like, are going to happen. We gave up so much for Paul George.
We did. Well, it'd be, to me, it would be foolish to not give it one more season, at least. And, you know, he had his ups and downs. He was very forthright with the struggles that he was having in the bubble.
Yeah.
Like, I give Paul George a lot of crap because I think a lot of the stuff that he does online is, like, really annoying. And, like, some of the stuff he says to the media is just, it's a loser mentality.
God damn.
But, he's still a good player. And, like, I thought that he was, you know, he had some great play in that Denver series on both sides of the
yes,
floor.
Yes, and the people forget that because, you know, the Game 7 was garbage from him and Kawhi. It was difficult combined. And he does defer. But when things are going, like, his above average is so much better than a lot of other guys elite.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good call. Yeah, definitely.
When the efficiency is there, which it usually is, like those first games back, it just looked insane. The shoulders are definitely going to be fully healed next year. There was like so much hyperbole about how he felt as good as he's ever felt and all this other stuff.
Which
and
you have to say.
You have to say it.
What are you like, saying? Like, oh, I had two shoulder surgeries.
You know,
I feel like crap.
Just like I'm feeling good. Because like we were like, oh, he's feeling great. And then like the time after in between the stoppage and the bubble, it was like he's even healthier than when the season started. And it's like, okay, how healthy was this guy at any point? Yeah, I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I'm not so sure about the, you know, 96 tour, as they're calling it. But, yeah, I think anyone kind of thinking that PG gets traded. I've now said this about two Clippers players on this episode, and there's going to be a Woj bomb as soon as we're done recording that both of these players probably got traded. I think PG is, I mean, if Kawhi's on the untouchable list, which I have to obviously assume that he is.
Of course.
PG is penciled in on that list. He's not in ink. He's penciled in. Maybe with an erasable pen.
I mean, definitely up until the trade deadline and honestly probably into the free agency in the summer. I look, it's like fun to entertain these ideas. I think I've said this before, but like, you know, there's no way we're moving on from Paul George after, you know, like one season with, you know, a coaching situation that wasn't working out.
Yeah.
And
a brand new one going into this season with a stacked assistant coach roster.
Yes, yes. And a very, I mean, hopefully a very different set of circumstances in which, you know, the playoffs and everything are conducted.
Yeah. And, you know, season's probably going to be a little shorter.
I think not much though. I think
like
they're still
10 games.
Yeah, I think they're still looking at 72 games.
We're still gonna have 12 back-to-backs, which will be great. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that remains. There's just so much that remains to be seen that you could unlock from Kawhi and PG with a new coaching staff that doesn't need to like, oh, let's switch out this star for another really good player and hope it works again. You know, like it just seems difficult. And there is that, you know, I keep thinking about that Twitter Tuesday question about possibly extending Paul George.
Yeah. And they're also like, I mean, I know we got so sick as fans hearing this word last year, but like there is still something to be said about the continuity that with this. Dude, it was so annoying.
Yeah, but
I mean, at the same time, like, there is some truth to it. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of time for everybody all healthy to, you know, get things figured out. And you have to give the opportunity. You just have to.
Yeah. And, you know, if we got it done that first year, that would have been fun. But who's going to be that excited about that? You know?
Yeah.
Anything else in shavings?
No.
I think we gotta get out of here.
I think there might be another game going on.
There might be another game happening. Also, quick note, for those of you wondering, yes, Beanie Trez is back. He posts a picture every day on Instagram when he puts on his beanie. Says Beanie Trez is back. Hope he's doing well. Getting some running. That's good to see. Thursday's episode. It's Thursday. Maybe some wants that we want to see from Paul George specifically. Hopefully some prospect talk. Find a couple guys to profile in there. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these fantastic people tell their, I'm sure, fantastic friends to find us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer.
Big shout out to Deezer.
Big shout out to Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked on Clippers. And hey, if you haven't already, please subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Like I said up top, there's still a lot of stuff to talk about 5 days a week with this team. Really excited. I think we might even be losing some expectations, which is more exciting for the fans, if you ask me.
We're all at that elevated plane of no expectations, mean no pain, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yes. If you feel up to it or you like what we're doing, go ahead, leave us a rating or review. Yes. Helps us out.
Helps us out a bunch. Thank y'all so much. We'll be with you again tomorrow. You know, if you missed wishing Lou Will a happy birthday, be better. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.